What is going on, everyone? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I am your host, Curry Blanford. Welcome to this episode. I am chatting this week with Mandy from Milk and Honey Teas. And so I found out about Mandy through my wife, who has bought her t-shirts in the past. They're awesome. She gets great compliments on them, especially one that says, "Fix it, Jesus." I feel like we all need a little fix it, Jesus in our lives, right? It's great. She has a great company. We actually got to meet her at a Popcast live event in Chicago, which was super cool. They were a vendor there. They were a sponsor. This interview is so cool, though, because we get into the nitty gritty about how she uses her business for the kingdom. And I think that's an important part. I think most Christians who own a small business see it as a ministry, or see it as building the kingdom in some way. And the ins and outs of how Mandy has chosen to go about that, working with a ministry in Africa called Africa New Life. It's just so cool. She's actually been there. She's seen the work done, like, on the ground in Africa. And it's really cool to hear her heart on why she's running this business, and just how the business has changed and adapted, and how she's adapted as a business owner over the years. I think there's a lot of great information here. You're going to get a lot out of this episode. There is also one spot. We had some technical difficulties, and it led to like a behind the scenes podcast moment that I really am excited for y'all to hear. The next conversation also doesn't make any sense without the context of what we just talked about. So I'm leaving it in there. So you, when you hear it, you will definitely know. But I think that's a cool part of podcasting, and you get to hear a little bit of the behind the scenes, which is cool. So I hope you enjoy all that. There's a great story in there about John Mark McMillan. So stay tuned for that. Make sure and check that out. Yeah, Mandy does such a great job. I can't wait for you to hear it. Make sure and share with your friends. Get the word out about Theology of Hustle. One great way you can do that is by going on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and rating and reviewing Theology of Hustle. It really helps just get the word out, not only like to people like looking at iTunes and the top charts or whatever, but it helps people just realize that real people listen to this, and that, you know, there's value to what is happening on this podcast. So I would greatly appreciate if you could go on, do that. Make sure you're following me at Theology of Hustle. I always try to keep it as entertaining as possible. You can also sign up for email updates if you're into that sort of thing. I only do them monthly. It just tells you about upcoming episodes so you can stay up to date. I also throw in a bit of Curry nerdery in that section. I promise you it will be entertaining most of the time. So do all that. You can follow me. Easy to do. Let's get to this interview. I hope you enjoy hearing from Mandy. All right. Well, Mandy, I can't say thanks enough for jumping on the podcast with me. This is awesome.
Well, yes. Thank you so much, Curry. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so let's jump off with you just sort of introducing yourself to everybody.
Well, sure. My name is Mandy Osborne, and I am a wife and a mom of three crazy little boys, and I'm a business owner. Started a business about a little over 6 years ago now called Milk and Honey Teas. It's a clothing and style company.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, well, so I'm so curious as to how all this like came about. So how did like, what was your trajectory to starting Milk and Honey Teas?
Well, I laugh as soon as you say that, because there was no plan or intention, honestly, to start a business when it all happened. It was just sort of random. Long story short, I had always enjoyed like creating little shirts for my kids when they were young. And at one point I made a shirt for myself and posted it on my personal Instagram. And some just friends and friends of friends started asking if they could buy them. And it just sort of happened from there, very unintentionally. My husband set up a business license. I just kind of thought, okay, I mean, if people want to buy this, let's try it out. And it's just grown in crazy ways since then. But there was no plan in the beginning to start a business or be an entrepreneur at all.
That is amazing. That's pretty cool. So what were you sort of...
I mean, what were you planning on doing? I know you, you know, you have small children, you know, and we're staying home and doing some of that. But like, what were you doing with your life before all this stuff went down?
Well, so my background is in marketing and advertising and public relations. That's what my degree is in. And I worked for about 5 years after graduating college for a couple different advertising agencies. And then once I had my first son almost 11 years ago, I decided to stay home, which had always kind of been the plan, at least when my kids were little. And so that was just sort of how it all happened. And then once, let's see, my kids were 4 and 2 and the little one was not around yet when I started Milk and Honey. So I had stayed home for about 4 years at that point before I started the business.
Wow. And so, okay. So you just started designing tees and making t-shirts. What was that?
I know that's so random. I guess I just was kind of crafty and enjoyed that sort of thing. And so really I had just made shirts for my kids just to wear little like personalized, just very at home craft room type of stuff. And like I said, I made one for myself at one point, just trying like this new, like at home screen print method is the best way I can think of to describe it. It's very different than how I create the shirts now. I do still print them all myself at home, but it's a little more advanced techniques now than it was then. But yeah, I just, it was just sort of like a craft type of thing in the beginning.
Wow. That's so cool. So what were some of the first t-shirts that people like started really wanting, and like what sort of perpetuated all of this?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, that initial shirt that I said that I had made for myself was a Razorback shirt. I'm from Arkansas, and Razorbacks are a big deal here because they're about all we have. And so, yeah, I had just made this very simple little Razorback shirt. And that's the one that sort of started it all. And for a while, it was mostly that type of stuff that I made, sort of home type stuff, a lot of Arkansas stuff, which is not at all what I do now, which is so funny. It's really changed since those beginning days.
Yeah, for sure. It surprises me that you even started that way with what I've seen sort of on, you know, Instagram and whatnot.
Now. I know. It's very, very different now. In fact, I would say that for the first probably at least 2 years, you know, it was still very much like a side hustle, you know, just making some shirts in my craft room type of situation and making shirts like that. And really the first, I made a design the first time I did something with scripture on it. Mm-hmm. It was a design that's still one of my very favorites, but it said love, mercy. And that one, it just reached such a wider audience, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
And really that's when things sort of started growing in a different way and taking more the shape that it has now.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess, a lot of people do side hustles now, right? Like,
yeah.
At what point was it like, okay, this needs to go from side hustle to real hustle, all hustle, I guess.
You know, honestly, it just sort of happened. And I really just looked up one day and I was like, wow, this is not what I intended. I never intended to have like a full-fledged, you know, working this many hours a week and type of thing business. It's almost like it happened. So it was slow but sudden, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Sure.
But I just sort of, like I said, I just looked up one day and I thought, this has really grown beyond my wildest dreams and really what at the time I thought I even wanted. I just suddenly realized how busy I was. But really looking over it and looking back at it, I just saw that, you know, God had done that. You know, it wasn't really, especially because it wasn't something that I intended to do. I wasn't just, I don't know. I just wasn't putting all my effort into growing the business. It just sort of happened.
Yeah.
And really that's when almost had a little bit of like a business identity crisis, if that's a thing, just kind of thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do with this now? Because it's grown beyond what I even know what to do with.
Yeah, sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's just kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? Like, just to go from that. So during your so-called business identity crisis, what was sort of yes. your thought pattern behind all of that? Like, how did it go from like a crisis to like full-fledged, like this is Milk and Honey Teas and all of that?
Yeah, I feel like that was the first of a couple times that I've thought, okay, do I really want to keep doing this? Do I really want to keep pursuing growing this business? Because like I said, I hadn't necessarily really pursued starting it or growing it to that point. But like I said, I looked up one day and there it was, and I enjoyed it, you know, like I was enjoying the work. But, and I guess I would say that was probably 2 or 3 years into it, I would say somewhere between that.
Okay.
And that's, like I said, it was sort of an identity crisis of, okay, what is this supposed to be about? Because once I realized that it was more than a side hustle financially and just with the time that I was spending on it and all of that, I just began to feel like I wanted it to mean more than just t-shirts and just extra spending money and stuff like that. So really, I just began asking the Lord what he wanted me to do with it. And you know, like I said, he had grown it to that point. Yeah. As I looked back and realized, you know, this wasn't anything that I did with intention. And so clearly the Lord's been in it. So why, you know, and I just began to ask him that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what came out of that? What was his answer to some of that?
Well, I mean, for one thing, I think that he began, because I was really struggling with, I guess, to kind of back up a little bit, one of the ways that the business grew and the main way that I market the business is through Instagram. Right. And so it had grown into this fairly large Instagram following. And it's that's a struggle for me because it was feeling a lot, just the promotion that you have to do on there. It was just feeling, I was just struggling with the fact that I didn't want it to be about me. Yeah. And it can easily become that with a platform like that. And especially if you do kind of accidentally without intention, grow it in that way, which I accidentally did. And so for one thing, just on a very basic level, he was just telling me like, don't make it about you. Like it's about me, as in him, yeah, you know, he was telling me just to use it to glorify him. And then the second and really major way was that right in the middle of that is he called me to Rwanda, which really it was literally just in the middle of that whole struggle that I was having of like, what is this about? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to do with it? Do I really want to be working this hard? And if I am, then it's got to be about more than this. And that's when I got invited to go on a trip to Rwanda with an organization called African New Life. And the first trip that I went on, it was in 2016. And it was close to a year before the trip, maybe more like nine months or so before the trip that I was going through this whole crisis mm-hmm. and was asked to go on the trip. Yeah. But that first trip was with a group of women who run businesses. And it was just sort of the purpose of it was just to learn about African New Life and learn about Rwanda and see what they're all about. And a lot came from that since then. We now support them and have been back again. So that's definitely a very clear answer that he gave me to all that,
yeah.
all that questioning that I was going through.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's that timing. You got to love God's timing, right?
I know, right? Like it's sometimes it's very, very clear. Yeah.
Right, right. So can you talk a little bit about the organization then?
Absolutely. So Africa New Life is an organization in Rwanda, and they are primarily centered on child sponsorship. I think everybody has some sort of background knowledge on what that's all about. But basically, it's all about educational sponsorship for children, which in turn transforms families. And so our family before that trip began sponsoring a child through them, Dennis. But there's so much more that they do, because it's, you know, education and discipleship go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so they do, that's kind of at the core of it for the children. But then there's so much more to transforming families beyond that. And one piece of that is their women's vocational training program, which I was introduced to on that first trip a few years ago. And I just fell in love with the program. It's just job training for vulnerable and impoverished women. Many of them are single moms with little kids, or they just come from really, really hard family backgrounds, and they don't have an education themselves. African New Life is working so hard to transform that, you know, much earlier on through the child sponsorship and getting kids education
right from
the beginning. But these are women that didn't have that opportunity. And so through this job training program, they're trained in either sewing or beauty, like doing hair primarily. And so, yeah, I met that group of women when I was there and really just fell in love with that program and felt God calling me to be a part of it.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love that. It, maybe this isn't part of it, but it just feels like you own a women run business, right?
Yeah.
And so to have that going on in Africa where you can help other women do the exact same thing feels like it just fits, right?
I know. It just felt like such a clear fit. And I feel like that's why my heart was just open to that particular part of the ministry, because there's just so many different aspects to it. Like they have a daycare where the women's children can go while they're in class. Mm-hmm. And you know, and just knowing that they're loved on and cared for and being discipled, and they're learning about Jesus while the women are in class being trained to, you know, help make a better life for their kids. Just as a mom and a female business owner, that just really struck me, and I just loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels, I mean, if you're ever going to see change, it has to start there, right? Like with empowering women to give their children a better life. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's so cool. So you just went though back to Rwanda recently, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. We went back in November of 2018, and that was my second trip over there. I got to take my husband this time, which was awesome, and three other of our couples that are some of our closest friends. And it was just incredible to get to go, first of all, just introduce all of them to Rwanda and to African New Life and all that they're doing, and get to meet the women in this, I guess it would be last year's class. They actually graduated just a few weeks after we left. So we got to meet them and just kind of love on them and speak to them while we were there. And that was just so incredible.
Yeah, that's so cool. So what is Rwanda like? I've never been myself. What's your impressions of it?
Oh, it's just beautiful. The country has such a hard history. The genocide in Rwanda, I don't know how much you know about that, but back in the 90s, they went through just a really difficult time through the genocide, but they've really, it's incredible to see how much the country has come through that. Mm. Just my absolute favorite. I mean, first of all, it's just a beautiful country. I mean, it's called the Land of 1,000 Hills is what they call it. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. But my absolute favorite thing about the country is the people. Like they're just incredible. It's a very young country in a lot of ways because of the genocide that they went through and how many people died at that time. But the people are just amazing. And the fact that they have come through that in such a short time, because that just happened back in the 90s. And you can just really feel God's presence there. Like they're just so forgiving and just have moved on and just built just such a beautiful country in so many ways, you know, since that time. So it's one of my favorite places in the world.
Really?
That's
cool. I hadn't even thought about that because of the genocide, the population being so much younger. That's,
Yeah.
That's pretty sobering, right? It's like all those consequences even in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it still very much affects people, but in other ways they've moved on, you know, like that's in the past and they've really like grown and there's been so much forgiveness happen in the country. It's really pretty incredible.
That's really cool. So if somebody wanted to like jump on and like work with your organization, African New Life, is that
African New Life?
African
yes.
New Life. Yes, how would yes. How would they go about something like that?
Yeah, well, one of the best ways would be to sponsor a child. I mean, they have really big goals for how many kids they want to have sponsored within the next 5 years. And it's pretty incredible how everything that they kind of put their mind to, it happens. I mean, because God is just really in it and at the center of it. But right now they have about 10,000 kids who are sponsored, and they really want to grow that a lot in the next 5 years. So sponsoring a kid is an incredible way to really help transform the lives of entire families and for like generations. I mean, that sounds so, I don't know if cliche is the right word, but it almost sounds just like untrue. Yeah. Really, like I've seen it firsthand. It's incredible. So sponsoring a kid is a really great way to get involved. Also just, they have so many other things that they're doing in the country, from like they just opened their hospital. I really studied the art hospital in the capital there. It actually opened its doors while we were there, which is incredible because there were five doctors on our team of eight people. And that was just completely the Lord who did that, which was amazing. But there's the hospital and the women's program and the food program. And just, I mean, I could go on and on. They have a seminary there. There's so many different ways to get involved and partner with what they're doing there.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the question that's popping up into my mind now is, you know, before you were sort of, having the identity crisis, we'll go back to that, right?
Yeah.
And God answers in like a pretty profound way, one that's sort of, in what ways does that change how you go about business now?
Oh, that's a great question. Honestly, I think in a lot of ways, it's given me just a purpose, you know?
Yeah.
I just know that what we're doing, it's about more than me. It's about more than just my family. And to be clear, I mean, we are a business, you know, we're not a nonprofit, but we run with a give back model. So we give back a portion of our profits to the African New Life Women's Program. And just like, especially after having met the women, it's just so tangible. Like I can see, like when I'm working, like this is directly impacting, you know, 15 or 20 women's lives and their kids' lives and their, you know, their families' lives. And I don't know, it just gives me more of a sense of purpose when I go, you know, that's not the only, it's probably the biggest business identity crisis that I've been through, but it's not the only one. And sometimes I just kind of want to burn it all down and be done with it. But I know that God has a bigger purpose for it through that. And it just makes a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think there has to be something tangible there that you're working towards, or else it's just like making money for money's sake. Right. And,
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's kind of a sticky topic I know for us and for our family, like this did start as a side hustle and it's been a huge blessing to our family. And it's, I've seen God use it in a lot of different ways, but the fact that we're able to support these women, I don't know, it's just pretty incredible and humbling and, keeps me going a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So I own a business in Texas with my family, and like the small business thing is, it can be ruthless, right? I mean, it can just be.
Clearly I feel you on that. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit just about that and sort of how you've processed some of that in your business?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, one thing that's difficult, I work from home.
Yeah.
So I run this business from home. I have a few different people that work with me in different capacities, but in many ways, like the bulk of the business is me.
Yeah.
And I'm also a mom to three very busy and very needy kids. And at no point while running this business have they all like been in school full time. I mean, even now my youngest son, he's home with me 2 days a week. And obviously they're all home after school and they have things that they need to, places they need to be and things that they need from me. So for me, like just the whole small business thing, it's just, I mean, balancing and prioritizing that with family life, you know, is difficult. It just is. And especially just like being your own boss, like there's no one to just tell you what to
do.
You have to just like tell yourself what to do. And that's, that requires a lot of discipline that I don't always have. So I guess those kind of two areas are difficult for me personally.
Sure. So what are ways that you found to sort of balance those two things? I know it can't always be perfect at all times, but.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it can. And I, for me, like balance is just not a thing. Like, I mean, you know, who even knows how to do that, but I definitely have to prioritize different things. And, you know, again, like I keep going back to this, but for us and for our family, like this business is our still side hustle, you know, in a lot of ways. It's not our family's bread and butter, you know. Yeah. And so that's different than the situation that a lot of people are probably in. So for me, like I felt the Lord ask me again and again just to place Milk and Honey, like to put it in its proper place in my life. And for me right now, that comes behind my family, you know, I mean, obviously, and I guess that would be true of anything, even if it wasn't a side hustle, but just for me, like I have to remind myself again and again, like my kids come first, my husband comes first, like, and that looks different day to day, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, when all my kids are in school all day long, like that's when I really kind of put my head down and work and get as much work done on those days and during school hours so that I can be there with my kids, you know, when they're home after school. And also just knowing, kind of prioritizing what's important to each of my kids and to my husband. You know, one of my kids cares a whole lot if I'm there for like all the class parties and all the field trips and whatever else. And another one, that's not as important to him as much. So I don't know that I don't feel like I have a very good answer for how to balance it all. It's more just about prioritizing. And that is difficult because everyone has different needs and the business has certain needs. It's just, it looks different every day, honestly.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I think that's a really fair answer. I think that's a great answer. Cause I mean, there is an extent to which, like, if you left and you went to work, right, 5 days a week and, you know, worked outside the house, it would be a lot easier to compartmentalize those two areas of life, right?
Yeah, I think for sure. And I mean, obviously there are different areas of struggle with that sort of work life.
Right.
Just the, you know, outside the home 5 days a week, 9 to 5, or I mean, who really has a 9 to 5, I guess, but just set hours of work. That's a whole other set of issues that come with that. But for me, as a just work at home, setting my own hours, mom kind of situation, like I have my own set of issues that come with that. And it is definitely a struggle at times. So I'm learning every day how to prioritize and get everything done and then just write off the things that are just not going to get done, you know? So yeah, like I said, it's a daily thing.
No, I think those are helpful answers because in my mind, especially in the Instagram game, which you know pretty well, it feels like everybody else has it figured out and I don't sometimes. Yeah. Or like I feel like in the world, it's hard to like know even how to navigate some of those things when you see all these other people like make it look easy or you perceive that it's easy for them, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Instagram is such a beast, isn't it?
It is a little bit of a beast. I try not to get lost in all of that, you know, but
I know. I mean, yeah.
That's your world. Like you said, you advertise or, you know, that's where a lot of your business like revolves around, right?
Yeah, for sure. Instagram is really the primary way that we market the business. It's the primary way that we've been able to grow the business. And I'm so grateful that we have like a platform like that, that has made it possible for us to grow this business to the point where it is. But I mean, it's a blessing and a curse a lot of times for sure. Cause you know, comparison is real and just all the things that come along with Instagram and you know, how many likes did I get and how many followers are we losing or gaining, or the algorithm and the analytics. I mean, it's just, it can get really overwhelming quickly.
How much did your background in marketing and advertising play into sort of where, how you do what you do?
Yeah. I mean, I think for sure it has been a big part of it. You know, like I said, my oldest son is almost 11, and I, you know, quit my job at the time that he was born. So it's been 11 years since I worked in marketing and advertising. And it's been, you know, gosh, when did I graduate college? I don't even know. I mean, it's been like, what, 16 years, I think, since I was like learning all about marketing and advertising. Right. So clearly things are very different now. I mean, there was no Instagram, social media, but all the principles are the same, you know? So it's actually been really fun for me unexpectedly to kind of put that marketing hat back on and kind of learn the new things and apply what I already knew as far as just the basic principles. And I think that's definitely played a big part in how I've been able to grow the business, just kind of having a little bit of that knowledge and that background. But, you know, I've had to learn a lot too, like I said, because so much of how things are done now didn't even exist in the time that I was, you know, getting my degree and working in that field.
Yeah, maybe the biggest jump ever in advertising, right? In a time period.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty wild, yeah. Because I mean, when I was in school, I was learning like how to buy print ads and like how to, you know, like what magazines to advertise in, which obviously is still a thing. But for a business like mine, I mean, social media is just an incredible tool. If you're willing to kind of put in the time and the effort to learn about it and just kind of play with it and allow yourself to fail a lot in the process of figuring it all out. I mean, it can be a really great tool.
Well, it just takes time, right? Like those, like people don't start off with 10,000 person, like Instagram accounts, right? It just takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. Build.
I think you see other people's accounts, you're like, gosh, I wish I had that or whatever, you know, but like that's been years and years of work, right, to build.
Absolutely. Yeah. Most of the time that's absolutely true. And I mean, you know, in those people, I just, you know, one thing I've learned is no matter how many, you know, where you are right now, there's always a new goal to reach, and you can easily get caught up in that and numbers. And it's hard because numbers, I mean, in business, numbers matter and numbers are important. Like, but there's a fine line between, I don't know, just recognizing the importance of growth and just getting really sucked into, you know, your follower count or your engagement rate or impressions and all these just the whole numbers game. It can be easy to get sucked into that for sure.
Yeah. Utilizing them as a tool rather than like a crutch maybe, or like, you know, something that determines the whole value of your entire business or something.
Absolutely. I mean, the value of your business or even just like personally yeah, for sure. That can be a struggle.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Instagram has its downsides, right? There's comparison and there's all that stuff. It also is a great place to build a community. And it seems like Milk and Honey has an awesome community. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And that's one thing that we're really more and more trying to do, build even more of a community there. And some of it we're even taking off of Instagram. I mean, in the last year or so, we've really been trying to develop our blog and our email newsletter. And really the whole purpose behind all that is to develop, you know, that community even more. Because yeah, Instagram and just social media in general is a great way to develop a community because it's engagement with people.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, just inviting that engagement, encouraging it, responding to people, and just being personal with people, just seeing people, seeing someone's username as like that's a person, you know, it's not just a username on a social media platform. Like there's a person behind that. Yeah. And it's enjoyable. Like it's enjoyable to relate to people and, you know, so much. Can you hear me, Curry?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry, I just
came, no, I just came back.
Oh no. Did you?
But you're fine. All that stuff got recorded. Okay. I just didn't hear it, but I can sort of fill in the gaps. I'm pretty wild.
Sorry.
No,
I'm editing like a nightmare for you right now.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
Listen, you have no idea. You are doing awesome.
Okay,
so
thank you.
I have done some seriously crazy editing things, and this is
goodness.
Oh, I got to tell you, I'll tell you one story. So,
okay, let's hear it.
I interviewed John Mark McMillan, right? And and that was like huge. I thought somebody was like catfishing me or something when I got that interview, because
that's
he's like
so funny,
you know, right? And so I get on to interview him. I was so flustered. He was late. I thought maybe he wasn't showing up. I got flustered. I didn't have the right microphone input in the in the thing, so it was picking up on my like headphone microphone, and it was rubbing up against my zipper the entire time.
Oh no.
So I had to go back and re-record all of my audio for the entire interview.
Like you had to record just yourself and like splice it together with his answers.
Yes. Oh. Right.
I'm going to have to go listen to that interview now, like knowing that.
I think I did. I'd love to hear what you thought, you know?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
People haven't noticed yet. Well, and it's John Mark. Like, people are going to listen to that one. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
That one needs to be on point. And
That needs to be your best work right there.
And I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, which means that.
Me too.
You know, are you really?
Yeah, I am.
Unfortunately, can we talk about being 3s?
We can a little bit. I have to tell you, I'm not like a huge Enneagram person. So I can't speak like super intelligently about it. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know that I'm a 3. And I know a little bit about what each number is.
Well, I think you might be the first 3 I've ever interviewed.
Oh, really?
So this is like, I think so. Everybody else surprises me with other numbers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm a 3 for sure.
So what does it mean to you to be a 3?
I mean, like I said, I'm not like super well versed in the whole Enneagram thing, but I know that a 3 obviously means that I'm ambitious is what I understand. And that I care a lot about what other people think about me.
Right.
And that people see me positively, I guess, which I mean, obviously plays into caring what people think about me. Yeah. Gosh, like what are some other 3 characteristics? Just like,
well, I think, okay, so for a 3, like, right, the whole deal is that you only receive love when you are performing, right? When you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? That's the one that like destroys me, because it's like, am I doing this because I want people to think I'm awesome or.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that, that's difficult. And for sure, like it can be, and surely every number is like this. I don't know, but like you kind of read what it's all about and it's like, golly, I can be the worst, can't I? Like, you know, just like this caring so much about what people think and I don't know, but for sure that can be difficult. And that kind of plays into the whole, like what can be so hard about Instagram. So difficult about, especially for me, like with my business, so much of it being on there is I do care so much. Like if I feel like people aren't liking what I'm putting out there or that I'm just not doing a good job or I'm not being received well. Yeah. I don't know. That feels like kind of a 3 thing and probably not.
No, totally.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Instagram isn't actually the best platform for me to put all my efforts into as a 3, but here I am anyway. So,
well, I wonder though, I mean, it's probably a good exercise, right? Because you're having to not find your self-worth over and over and over again in those like numbers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been a struggle that I feel like for the most part, I'm on the other side of. I think I've lost a lot of that caring so much about it, just for various reasons, but kind of going back to that initial business identity crisis that I had, I mean, a lot of it was wrapped up in that a lot, because I had gotten to a point without realizing it where I was putting so much of my self-worth, just placing so much value on the feedback that I was receiving through this social media platform, you know, and that's just exhausting. And you're never gonna feel good in the long run. I mean, there's highs and lows for sure. Like, yeah, it can feel really awesome when you post something that gets a lot of engagement, everybody loves and whatever, but then when the next post like totally tanks or you get negative feedback, then you just feel like the worst, you know? And it's just, yeah, it can be really easy to, especially as a three, I would probably say, to get wrapped up in that and just finding your worth in that feedback and engagement, but it never feels good, you know? So you have to recognize that that's not where your worth actually comes from.
Yeah. Amen. I think that's important for us all, but for us threes, even more important, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess maybe we have to remind ourselves more often or something.
Right. So what do you feel like helped you get to the other side of that struggle? Is it just business sort of destroying you enough that you don't care anymore, or
maybe so? That sounds pretty negative though, doesn't it? Like I've just been beaten down to the point. Yeah.
Anybody who's run a small business, I think, would be like, oh yeah, okay.
You know. Yeah, for sure. You know, I think just like taking it to the Lord again and again and just having to just allowing him to consistently remind me like, this isn't where your worth is. This isn't why you're doing this. Maybe it's just starting to get through more and more. I'm softening up a little bit and allowing him to soften me up. Yeah. I mean, I really think it's just also just having that greater purpose in my business, you know, because I did part of why I had gotten to that point is because I found myself a little purposeless maybe in it. And that led me to where like it felt like I was making it too much about me or was dangerously close to maybe making it too much about me. And I knew that that didn't feel good. Like I knew that's not what I wanted from it, but I hadn't really like named it yet that that's what it was. I just knew that it felt like gross. Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe just like taking it to him and hearing from him on it and knowing now that he's asked me to do something more with it, you know, like, and that, you know, it's not just what we do with African New Life. I mean, like just, I want everything I do in life, obviously, but my business is a huge part of that. Like, I just want it to glorify him and not me. So I think even just keeping that at the forefront of my mind and being aware when I'm maybe trickling into more of the like finding my own identity through it or making it too much about me. I don't know, just kind of just being aware of when that's happening and recognizing what I need to do to turn it around. A lot of it's just kind of learning that over time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good word. I appreciate that. So,
well, thanks.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Okay. So before we go, I have to hear about you. I mean, you still do these things in your house or whatever at home, right? You still screen print by hand, right?
Yeah, I do. That's so stupid, isn't it?
No, I'm not. I think it's awesome. I think I saw that you posted about it, I don't know when, a while back, and I was like, yeah, that's really cool. I think it's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, thank you for saying that. Sometimes it doesn't feel so cool when I'm like covered in ink and shirts are all over the house. But, and you know, like sometimes I feel like I've completely outgrown this. Like, why am I still doing it this way? And there have been times that we've tried various other things, working with screen printers and sending some of it offsite and again, it doesn't work out for one reason or another. And for whatever reason, again, like, I keep going back to this, but just what the Lord's asked me to do with it right now, like he's asked me to just work with my hands, you know, and do that for right now. So I would love it to come off a little bit of my plate, that part of it, partly just because that's just the mundane part of my job. I mean, right. It's just like, it's not the fun stuff to me, but work isn't always fun and isn't supposed to be too. So Yeah, and it's pretty cool to be able to do that. Like it's cool to know how to do that whole process. And I really like creating things. And this is something like I, from like start to finish, I create the whole thing. So
do you cool. The artwork and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I do all the design, create the screens, print the shirts. Yeah, all of it.
So how did you, I guess you were in marketing and stuff, but that's not necessarily design. How did you
get... for sure not. Yeah, it's funny because I'm sure like anyone who worked in like the creative department at the ad agencies where I worked previously probably like cringe at me trying to like speak to this, because I mean, when it comes to all the design stuff, like I'm just self-taught. Like I do feel like I have a little bit of just a natural eye for it maybe, and a little bit of background knowledge just through, like when I worked in advertising, I was an account executive, so which is like basically the liaison between like the client and the creative department and the rest of the agency. So, but I found myself more and more wanting to just kind of like hang out back in the creative department and just like see what they were doing and what they were all about and learning more about the design process. So it's always been an interest for me. But as far as just the actual, you know, the actual work involved, like I'm just kind of self-taught on all that. I just, you know, YouTube and Google are very much my friends.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I'm self-taught too with all of my design, like web design and graphic design and all that stuff. I just taught myself how to do that all in the same way in a lot of ways. Yeah. It's funny that we both took up the mantle of just teaching ourselves design work. Feels like a very three thing to do, I guess, right?
Maybe so. Yeah. I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
I don't know.
And it's, cool. I mean, yeah, it's another thing that's really cool about like just kind of technology now and social media, like just that you can do that. Like, you know, if you put the time and effort into it, you can teach yourself to do something, you know, with the help, like I said, of YouTube and Google, but it's pretty cool to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. I really do love that you print these things at home. Thank you. I'm a little jealous, to be honest with you, because it just seems so cool. Like making stuff by hand is just awesome, you know?
I appreciate you saying that. It's maybe not as cool as you're thinking that it is.
Well, but, I would be making all sorts of weird t-shirts all the time, I think, you know, if I had the...
Yeah. Well, time is definitely a factor, but it's fun. I mean, my favorite part of all of it is probably the design process. And really that's what I get to do the least of, I would say, just first of all, because there's just less of a need for it. Like I can't put a new design in the shop every day, you know, that's just not feasible. So, that's just more of a seasonal thing, but it's so fun. It really is. And it's pretty cool to get to do something that's so fun. It makes the more mundane parts of it worth it.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of likening this to my job as a pastor, right? I'm a pastor, but we're at a mobile church. And so we have to set up and tear down week in and week out, right? So
yeah,
I love the preaching aspect of what I do. And the set up and tear down is sort of like the medium that has to happen in order for that to get there, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's something... I've always said it's so humbling to like preach on a Sunday morning and then go load a trailer. Feels like more pastors might need to do that, you know, just to like, you're not that big of a deal, right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
You still can load a trailer. That's so funny.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like I said earlier, like all of work can't be fun. And it wasn't designed to be, you know, I mean, just to get really theological maybe about it. But I mean, you know, work is work and that's okay. And it's pretty cool to get to have a job that where there are a lot of fun parts of it.
Yeah. I mean, you are on Theology of Hustle. So, I mean, bringing in some work theologies, you know, that's legit. So what makes you say that work wasn't meant to be fun?
Well, you know, I mean, like, I guess just like the origins of work. I mean, we're called to work and we're called to work hard.
Yeah.
And absolutely, I think that we're to find enjoyment in our work, but it's also work for us. Like our families sound so like cheesy and overly Christian, but like our family verse is 1 Thessalonians 4:11, which essentially says just, you know, lead a quiet life, work with your hands, mind your own business. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing there, but that's just even before Milk and Honey. That was just, I don't even know really why or how God laid that on our hearts as a family. But you know, that's kind of just what it's all about for us. Like just do the work and work hard. You know, and there's a lot of fun in that, but it's also just hard work.
It's work. I love that. I love that you have a family verse, and I love that it's about working and keeping your mouth shut and just doing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of a big thing for me, the keeping your mouth shut. anyway, but yeah, just, you know, just work hard and mind your own business.
I think, Mandy, when you put out the milk and honey paraphrase of the Bible, like Mandy's version, I think I'm in on buying that, just so you know.
So thanks.
I like it. Sweet.
So funny.
All right, cool. Well, it's been so great to talk to you. Do you mind if we jump into our last two questions here?
Let's do it.
So my first question is, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
Oh, strangest. I don't know that I've had any like super strange jobs, but my first job, aside from like babysitting, which is primarily what I did, I worked at this, it was called Juice Works. And it was, I guess this was back, and maybe this is still kind of a thing, but back like in the late 90s, I was a teenager when like smoothies and juicing and all that was like such a new thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I made juice and smoothies after school. Yeah. It was a very random job, and I don't feel like I did that job for very long. I don't remember. But we always, once we were a certain age, like we were expected to work and help pay for certain things. So somehow I happened on that job.
I love that. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Do you still make a mean smoothie or no? Have you lost a lot of that?
You know, maybe that just sort of killed smoothies for me. I know smoothies are like a thing, but they're not so much my thing these days. No.
We all have our things, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So my final question then is, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom more into their work?
Oh, God's kingdom more into your work. You know, I mean, it sort of goes back to, and maybe it's just because of that verse that God has sort of laid on our heart for our family and our business, but like, just work hard, you know, like work hard and that's going to glorify him, you know, like, and glorifying him, you're bringing his kingdom into it. And, you know, and whatever you do, like, people recognize hard work, you know, and it's not so much a value, I would say, to a lot of people, or maybe it just doesn't come across so much that way. Yeah. But yeah, I think just kind of putting your head down and doing the work, you know?
Yeah. I like it. I think that's great advice. I love it.
I mean, it's pretty simple, I guess, but yeah.
Sometimes the simple things are the most profound, you know?
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. Profound is the right word.
That's good. Well, hey, thanks again for jumping on with me. It's great to get to chat with you a little bit. So
yeah, it was so great to talk with you, Curry. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
For sure. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. I think you have a child home today, so I appreciate you making time.
I am without child.
Nice.
They're all at school.
Nice.
Fridays.
Okay. Yes. Oh, Friday.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Very yes.
Nice. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day and get some work done. Okay.
Thank you. That is what I plan to go do.
Right. Thanks, Mandy.
Thanks, Curry.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Mandy. I know I really just enjoyed this interview. If you have not seen Milk and Honey Teas and what they do, you've got to go check it out. It's great. They have a great community on Instagram, and just following them is awesome. So I think it's worthwhile for sure to follow them and check out what they're doing. I really enjoyed hearing from small business owners about how they go about their work. I feel like you get this idea that it's maybe easy for some people, right? So like, I guess my point is we're all just trying to figure it out, you know, trying to make it work, trying to make life work with kids and, you know, all of the stuff that life demands. We're all just trying to make it happen and build the kingdom in whatever way. So I love hearing from other people about how they do that, about the struggles, the trials, and the good parts. So I hope you enjoyed hearing from Mandy. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. I've got great episodes upcoming. We are nearing 50 people. That's crazy. So I'm super excited about that. We'll do a little recap episode on the year. kind of look back at where we've gone. So yeah, I hope you enjoy. Stay tuned. And until next time, get out there and hustle.